at our Torah portion, Ki Tavoh, when you enter in, and it talks about blessings, and it talks about things that are not so much blessings, curses. So if you look at chapter 28, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Now it shall be, if you diligently," what's diligently mean? "Diligently obey the Lord, your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God." So this portion is part of Moses' final instructions to his children of Israel as they prepare for the eventual entry into the land of Canaan. It is in these chapters of Deuteronomy that Moses lists the benefits of blessings, or the blessings rather than benefits of obedience, if they're obedient. But he also details what happens if they're disobedient. They will get curses. The very last statement he makes in 29 verse 8, "So keep the words of this covenant to do them that you may prosper in all that you do." So if you want to prosper, you should do those things. Otherwise, you won't prosper. People look around and say, "Why ain't I prospering?" Well, you ain't doing those things. So when you read and meditate upon this Torah portion, according to Moses, if you want to prosper in all that you do, it's imperative that you keep the words of his covenant. Moses could not state it more precisely. Simple logic can be simplified by the axiom, obedience equals blessings. If you want to be blessed, you got to be obedient. And if you want to be cursed, just be disobedient. You'll be cursed. I don't know how else to explain that. Do you? In fact, whenever I'm asked if I'm Torah obedient, I simply turn to Deuteronomy 28 and read some of the blessings and curses to my questioner and ask this rhetorical question: why would anybody want to receive these curses when through obedience the blessings come to those who are faithful? I usually get perplexed looks at me. But most discussions usually stop right there too. However, if they want to proceed further, I make it clear that I think they are prejudiced against me and my household, you know. After all, if they're not comfortable with the Bible, the writings, I point out that in the Messiah there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither male nor female, neither bondservant or free. Galatians 3:24 says all that. If you belong to Messiah, you are Abraham's descendants, you are heirs according to his promise, right? And so, Apostle Paul's contention to believers in Galatians is very clear. The law or the Torah has become a tutor to lead one to the need for a Messiah. If you don't think you need a Messiah, then you better read the book, because the book's going to lead you there. It is by faith in the accomplished work at Golgotha, is that what you call it, or Calvary, of the Messiah that I, by faith, became a son of the Most High. I have been baptized in the Messiah and clothed myself in belief in his atonement because he atoned for my sin. He took away my sin. Not national status, not society position, not gender has anything to do with me becoming a part of God's Israel. Since I belong to the Messiah, I have been purchased by his blood. Then, according to Paul's statement, I am an heir to the promises, and I am one of Abraham's descendants. If you want to discuss a little more, then go to the book of Ephesians and look there where Paul indicates that in the Messiah we have become part of Israel. Chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, that you were at this time separate from Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Messiah. Even I was a natural branch. I was born as an heir, as a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but my branch was chopped off because I didn't believe. I didn't know that at the time. I had no hope. I was without God in the world. But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. Wow. And it goes on and it says, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man. Hallelujah. Echad. We are one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. So you are no longer a stranger and an alien, but you are a fellow citizen with the saints, and you are of God's household. Even me, who thought I was in, but I'm not, was put back on the tree. They glued me back on with some elmers, I guess. In whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. That's what it ends with. So this is what Paul said to the believers at Ephesus. Those who were part of the uncircumcision, including the Gentiles, the non-Jews, were separated from Israel, but they were brought in because of Yeshua. And those Jews who believed were also brought in because of Yeshua. So we're no longer strangers, we're no longer aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, but instead have become the citizens of Israel and are part of God's household. Where do I live? I live in the house of the Lord. That's my address. Lincoln can give his Gettysburg address, but I have a better address to give than that. You know? Yeah. Yeah, I am there. By belief in the Messiah, I am fitted together with all the others who share my belief. I'm being fitted together with you guys. Isn't that cool? And in Romans, it says, if the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also holy. The lump is also in the root. The root is holy, the branches are too, but some of the branches got broken off. I'm talking about me. Being a wild olive, they were grafted in and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. But don't you ever be arrogant towards them. But if you are, remember that it is not you who support the root. I hear a lot of church people in different denominations say, we've replaced Israel. We are God's chosen people. We don't have to support them. Let's vote against them and set up a Palestinian state in God's land. Let's do that. Boy, are they arrogant or not? Right. So, they are arrogant. But if they do not continue in the unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So we need to get them to do what? Teshuvah. This is a good time of year to do that, isn't it? The period of Elul. And for if you were cut off by what is a nature, a wild olive tree, and were grafted into nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches? Imagine me getting grafted back in. Wow. I'm blessed. More beyond I could ever think I was blessed. And if you think the world is being blessed now, they ain't. Wait until all the Jews that are alive today that accept Yeshua get drafted in, and it will become even more. But you guys in this Romans 11 got a job to do. What do you got to do? Make them jealous. Make them want what you got so that they can come. The same law applies to the native and the stranger who sojourns among you according to Exodus 12:49. When a stranger resides you in the land, you shall love him as yourself, for you are aliens in the land, so the Jews have to love you if you're there, and so you need to work on them. And it's not my job to work on them, it's yours, Gentiles. I'm talking to Gentiles, not Jews, because Jews won't listen to other Jews. Not very good. They don't like us. They think I'm a traitor. Well, I am part of the Israel of God, though. And that is a part of a unique people that all of the scripture applies to my household and to me. After all, why would a citizen want to disobey? Why, as a citizen, would you disobey the law? You wouldn't be a very good citizen, would you? So why would I want to disobey my father? who, when it is abundantly clear that through obedience I get what? Blessings. Therefore, when we get to this portion of Deuteronomy, I believe the Israel of God is responsible to follow the commands that are applicable given our location and station in life. And Moses says, you shall therefore be careful in 26:16-19 to do them with all your heart. Don't just do them. Do them with all your heart. And with all your soul. Wow. You have today declared the Lord to be your God, and you would walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his ordinances, and listen to his voice. You are, guess what? An Am Segula. You are a treasured possession from God. You shall be a consecrated people. Treasured possession of the Most High. You are holy. You are set apart. You are consecrated. That's what we are here today. Throughout Scripture, there is a unique relationship there. Now then, if you will obey my voice, Exodus 19, verse 5, it goes all the way back there. And keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession, my own segula, among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. God makes this proposal to Israel that includes obedience and to his voice and keeping his covenant. If you recall, just after he shared God's words with overwhelming response, the people said, everything you have spoken, we will do. Yeah. Did they? No. The Hebrew word segula, though, or treasured possession, is used a few other times throughout the Tanakh. Deuteronomy 7:6, the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own segula, his own possession. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, he picked you. How you like that for a lottery ticket? A lot of you are going to run out of here and go to the supermarket and think you're going to get rich. You already are rich. You already won the lottery. How many people are there out there that have what you have? Zilch. Zero. Very few. For you are a holy people, and you have been chosen to be a people for his own possession. God wants you to be his possession. In Psalm 135:4, for the Lord has chosen Jacob, or Israel, for himself, Israel for his own possession, his own segula. So let me encourage you today, if you consider yourself by faith to be part of the Israel of God, to take your privileged position seriously, after all, do you want to receive the blessings or the curses? What would you like? Got a big sale here today. Half price on the curses. You don't even need a coupon. Scriptures are replete with admonitions about the requirements of obedience in order to receive the blessing of God. In Joshua 24:15, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. So get off the fence. It's time to pick one side or the other. You can't ride the fence. For guys, it's very painful. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:22, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. And guess what Yeshua says in John 14:15? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Did he make his own commandments? No. What commandments did Yeshua make? He's God. So he must have made the same ones that God made. How could he change them? Why would he change them? That's kind of stupid. And John, 1 John 5, 2 through 4, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. How do you know if you love the children of God? When you observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. How do you love God? By doing what He says. How do you love another person? By doing what they say, giving of your time. The word ahava in Hebrew means to give. It also means to love. So what does that tell you? Loving is giving. You have a precious thing on this earth when you're born. It's called time. Everybody gets time. Maybe a day, maybe 70 or 80 or 90 years or less or somewhere in the middle. But that's yours. What you do with it is up to you. If you choose to give it to another person, that's called love. God so loved the world that He gave. Give, love, ahava, right? For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments aren't so burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So what's so hard about doing God's commandments? Everybody says, I don't want to do that stuff. I don't have to. I got grace. Grace, because we're under a new law. When I bought my new car, I started speeding through red lights because I had grace. My old car had to stop at each light because that was the law. But my new car was exempt from that. We had grace, a brand new Toyota. Zoom! And Dalma will testify that every cop in town had their red lights going behind me. But they didn't give me tickets, did they? She's mad at me because I never get tickets. They look at me and they feel so sorry. Oh, that poor old man. When I'm fumbling for my insurance card and the handicap sticker falls out and, you know, show them my knee operation, you know. No, we don't do that. It's not red lights, it's speeding that I have a problem. Okay. But by reviewing this Torah portion, you have an opportunity, all of us, to reconsider some of the choices. We all make choices that we make when it comes to the commandments of God. The choice is ours. His word will not change. So your choice is what you decide His word should do or not do in your life, right? When you consider the listing of blessings and curses in Deuteronomy 28, you should read those. It is easy to prefer the blessings to the curses. Oh yeah, I want that. I don't want that. I want that. I don't want that. It's like going on a buffet line, you know? I don't want that food, but I don't want that. Blessings, curses. No, no. The difficult thing of all that is obedience. Okay. May the Israel of God all be led to choose obedience in order to receive His blessings. After all, we are His amsegula, His treasured possession, and we will be a holy, set-apart people. So today, choose whom you will serve. Stand on Mount Gerizim and shout the blessings. Or stand on Mount Ebal and shout the curses. You notice there ain't nobody in the middle. You can't ride the fence. There is no fence. It's time to bring them in. Bring them in for Him. Bring them in for God. And pick the right choice, and that will be Mount Gerizim for all of you, right? Yeah. Amen.